So tonight, I wanted to talk to you. This phrase came up in my heart yesterday. Seekers, soakers, and sowers. Seekers, soakers, and sowers. So let's talk a little bit about what a seeker is. Let's define a few of these. A seeker, have you ever lost something of value? What do? Do you just leave it?
No.
No way. You're going to do something. You're going to do something very intently. You're going to seek for it. You're going to seek for it till you find it. Yep. You know, one time I lost a piece of jewelry, and it was valuable, but not all that value, but it was sentimental. And I lost it somewhere in the house. And I thought, I'm going to find that. Lord, help me find that piece of jewelry. Did you ever pray for God to help you find something? And I'm telling you what, I took my little magnifying glass out, and I was seeking in the carpet. I was seeking in the kitchen. I was seeking everywhere. And I didn't find it the first day or the second day or even a week later. But I kept seeking. I'm going to find that jewelry, Lord. I send the angels out in Jesus' name. Well, you know, that piece of jewelry showed up. Hallelujah. But I kept seeking until what? Until I found it. Until I found it. You know, the word tells us that we're to seek God. We're to seek him. And he will be found. He will be found. As we seek him, we find that we can experience him. And when we experience him, we experience his goodness. His goodness is tied to his presence. His goodness is all he is. He is good. God is good. Don't you know it? Let's say it, church. God is good. All the time. Amen. God is good. And when we begin to experience his goodness, you know, it's not like just knowing about it, where somebody says, did you know about this or did you know about that? No, it's not just knowing, it's experiencing. And that's what I want to encourage us all in tonight. I'm so thankful to the Holy Spirit that he came down and he sat upon each of us tonight in worship. There was a presence here, his presence. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there's nothing like experiencing him. So, as you begin to experience him, you begin to hunger for more of him. I mean, one taste is not enough. You want more and more. And pretty soon you find yourself, as you're tasting of his goodness, you find yourself abiding in his goodness. And as you abide in his goodness, you find something else. You find that you begin to soak him in. I have this little sponge here tonight, you know? And this sponge, I'll tell you what, if I place it over here in this little water, when I lift it up, it's saturated with the water. Amen? So whatever you put the sponge into, that's what it's going to absorb, right?
Amen.
So when you saturate yourself and you seek God and as I said, when you seek him, you will find him. When you seek him with all of your heart, he's not hiding from you. He wants to be found. But he wants you to seek him. So when you seek him and you abide in him, you soak him up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You soak him up. So, I want to soak him up. How about you? I want to abide in him. I want his attributes of goodness to become part of me. I want to walk in him. I want to flow in him. Amen?
Amen.
And so when you soak him up, because you've sought his face, then something else begins to happen. You become a sower. A disperser of him. A disperser of good. You're like planting seed everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
And remember, you may plant here, you may water, you may care for, you may keep the weeds out, but it's God who gives the increase.
Amen.
And he's going to give the increase where you disperse the seed. So don't hold back from dispersing. Let the glory of God shine through you. And here's what's interesting. You know, the seed, inside the seed, we have a little white daisy. We have marigolds, orange. We have a yellow marigold. Whatever is in the seed here, this little picture right here is represented in the seed. So the seed contains every aspect of the flower.
Right.
The color, the size, the shape, the smell. It's in the seed.
Yeah. Amen.
And it will produce.
Yeah.
And it will produce exactly what you planted.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yep.
It's the law of seed time and harvest.
Yeah.
So what we're harvesting is a result of what we've been planting.
Yes. Come on.
Yes.
Amen.
What are you planting with your words? Your words are seed. Plant the right kind of seed so you get the right kind of crop.
Amen. That's it. Good word.
So we're going to be seekers. We're going to be soakers because you can't give what you don't have.
Yeah.
You can't give God's goodness. You can give man's goodness, but that falls short. You can't give God's goodness. You can't give him away unless he abides in you. But when he abides in you, what did he say? What did Jesus say? If when you abide in me and I abide in you, then you can ask what you will.
Yeah.
And it shall be done. Amen?
Amen.
That's where the power is.
Yeah.
The power is in abiding in him. Where we're engrafted into the word.
Yeah.
Into his presence. And we become those dispersers. And I'll tell you, there's a tangible anointing that is associated with that which you absorb, and it will flow through you. It'll be like rhema, like apples of gold on settings of silver. It'll be the word in due season that you give forth to another that brings the life of God. Amen. I want to disperse the life of God. How about you?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, someone might say to you, I like ice cream. And I like this flavor. And that tastes so good. And they may try to describe it to you. But guess what? You have to taste it for yourself. You have to taste it for yourself. So when you disperse good, when you go about doing good, like Jesus did, went about doing good and bringing healing, it's interesting because that allows people around you to have a taste of him. And when they have a taste, guess what? They want more. Because he's so good. And people aren't used to the love of God out there in the world. They're used to people being self-seeking and looking out for themselves and thinking about themselves and taking selfies, right? But when you come and you just give them attention,
amen.
You look them in the eye when you're talking, you smile. And you're sincere.
Mm-hmm.
People know when you're authentic and they know when you're not. So when you have the sincere love of God in you and the goodness of God, kindness, and it flows forth from you, you are not barren. You have virtue. And you make a difference.
Yes. Amen.
When you open the door for somebody and you greet them and you say hello. I love going to the malls. I don't really go to the malls much, but I love going to the stores, opening the door and saying, God bless you. And people are more and more open to that. Have you noticed? You say, God bless you, and they're saying it back.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're a change agent. Amen. A change agent for good. So we learn more and more about the presence of God every day. And when you come into his presence, I find that I'm more patient. I'm more kind. I'm more loving. I'm more merciful. I'm more forgiving. I'm more understanding. Amen? You come into his presence, you take on his attribute. His attribute is inherent to who he is. He is those things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we learn more about his goodness. And what we do learn is that his goodness is equated to his faithfulness. He is faithful. He is faithful, and you can trust in that. He will work in your life. And you know, he'll work all things together. For what?
For good.
He works all things together for good, so we can trust in his goodness while we wait in his presence. We can trust in his goodness while we wait in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy and peace. In his presence, there's guidance. There you go. Thank you. There's guidance. There's the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's direction. There's wisdom. I mean, can you think of anything else? What else do you receive in his presence? Love? What else? Joy? What else? Peace? What else? Comfort in his presence. Oh, thank God for his comfort. Anyone think of anything else? Wisdom. All these things are in him. It's who he is. It's his attributes. And when you come nigh to him, you receive of those things. And they become, again, a part of you. I'd like you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. And we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. And we're going to see how Moses, we're going to look at the life of Moses and how Moses was a seeker, a soaker, and a sower. And we're going to pick it up at verse 18, and it says this. This is the New King James Version, by the way. Thank you so much. And Moses said to the Lord, please show me your glory. And God's response was, I will make all my goodness pass before you. So he's petitioning God for the glory. And God's response is, I will make my goodness to pass by you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me in the cleft of the rock. Stand by on the rock so that I shall be while my glory passes by, and I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take my hand away, and you will see my back. But my face, this is God speaking, my face you will not be seen. Aren't you glad for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, Moses lived in a different dispensation. But because of the blood, we are made righteous, and we are made holy. And we can behold him. in a way that he could not. Hallelujah. Exodus 34, verses 6 through 7. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Listen to these descriptions, these attributes. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Aren't you glad he's long-suffering with us? And abounding in what? Goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So again, these are characteristics and again, attributes of him. And we're going to see as we move along how God displayed these attributes to Israel. His mercy, his long-suffering. His kindness. Amen. Amen. His goodness. Amen. He went on to say, tell Moses, he said, I am that I am. So he was revealing to Moses who he was. He was making himself known. He wanted to make himself known through his name. And then by demonstrating who he was through acts and deeds. That's how God reveals himself. That's how he revealed himself in the Old Testament. I am is related to the Hebrew verb to be. So when God said, I am, it meant to be. He just was, he is, and forever shall be. Amen? So let's look a little closer at what happened just prior to Moses asking God to see his glory. God had brought the Israelites out of slavery, and they had seen the plagues of Egypt. They had experienced what was going on back there when they were slaves and in bondage. And God said, I'm bringing you out. So he created miracles that happened, supernatural things, so that Pharaoh would let them go. We know the story. And when they came out, it says this. It says that they came out with what? Silver and gold. And he strengthened them supernaturally. He strengthened them for the journey that was before them. And God's going to strengthen you for the journey that's before you. I mean, they came out and there was not one feeble person among them. Hallelujah. They had been slaves, and I am sure that as a slave, they probably didn't eat right. They probably worked very hard. They were probably tired, but there was not one feeble among them. So physically, mentally, emotionally, guess what? They were restored. They were restored, church. Now know this, when God brings you through something, a difficult time, a valley of Baca, a place of weeping, a place of despair or despondency. When he brings you out, you're going to come out with silver and with gold. Amen? And part of that silver and gold is going to be that which he works in you through the experience as you pass through that valley. You're going to come up on the other side and you're going to make it a spring. A spring is not just for you. A spring is for those around you. Amen. You're going to come up and out, and God is going to bring you to a place of restoration. Do you hear me? He's going to bring you up, and he's going to bring you out, and he's going to restore that which the canker worm has eaten. That which Satan meant for evil, God is going to turn it to good. Did you hear me? Yeah. That's how he works. Yeah. You may not know how. You don't need to know how. You just need to know who. Yeah. The great I am. Yeah. Hallelujah. He's so good. Hallelujah. He restores and so much more. I mean, he fed them manna, the children of Israel, in the wilderness. Daily. God has daily bread for you. Seek him for it. Not just natural provision. Yes, that too. But spiritual bread, daily bread. He has it for you. You can't store it up. You have to believe for it each day. There's grace for today. You cannot take today's grace and use it for tomorrow's problems. It doesn't work. Take no thought for tomorrow. Today is the evil sufficient thereof. Amen. You deal with what you got to deal with today and believe for grace to deal with what you're dealing with today, and he will give it liberally to you. Amen. 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 So daily bread, he guided them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh by making a way where there was no way, because he's a way God. Amen. Yes. He makes a way. They passed through the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. Hallelujah. God will create a highway for you. You can travel on it and you won't get stuck in the mud. Did you hear me? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's what God's grace does. It brings you through with an ease. You hear me talk about green lights. It's like traveling a distance, but no red lights and no traffic. You still got to travel the journey, but there's an ease with it. And for them, they weren't stuck in the mud. They passed through. And they got to the other side, and as they turned around here, they saw Pharaoh's army, the enemy, coming at them. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, just minutes before, they were on this side. Nowhere to go, and Pharaoh's army's after them. Nowhere to turn. Have you ever been there? That's when you got to look up, from which your help cometh. Amen? And you got to stretch your hand out, just like Moses stretched his rod. You have a rod of authority. You have the name of Jesus. You can commission things. You can bind, you can loose. Amen? Use your authority. Don't lose it. And so the Red Sea was split. They walked across on dry ground. They got on the other side. They turned around. Their enemy came after them, and they were swallowed up in the sea. Because the supernatural things that God has in store for you are for you, not the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He gave them the land of promise. The promised land. You know, that's where Israel is at. It's the Gaza Strip. It's Jordan. It's, you know, it's other parts of that area right there. And he gave that land to Israel. Yes. Amen? Amen. He said, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. And I'm leading you to it. So then we go a little further and we see that they came to Mount Sinai, and Moses went up to meet with God in Mount Sinai. He went up there to receive instructions. I mean, intricate instructions. Amen. He was up there 40 days. And the Lord spoke to him about building the tabernacle. He revealed to him that he wanted a sanctuary where his presence could abide so he could be close to the people. Of course, now know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he lives in you. But back then, there was a tabernacle they had to go through. There was a whole bunch of rituals we don't have time to go into. But God instructed Moses how to build it. He told him who would help. And he told him that he would anoint those to help. And you know what? He's still anointing people to serve today. So expect his anointing to come down upon you when you put your hand to the plow, no matter what you're doing. Expect the Lord to anoint you. Amen. You just step out. I mean, have no confidence in the flesh. But step out in faith and say, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm going to start praying for my church. I'm going to start praying for my pastors. I'm going to designate a time. Yeah, every day. But you can also designate times. So that you have an appointment with him.
Yes.
And that's a way you can serve this church is through prayer. Yes. You can put your hand to the plow and you can go and work with those babies. And they are so precious and they're so fun. Children's ministry is the best ministry you can get involved in. I'm telling you what. I was a children's pastor here for 17 years, and it's so much fun. Where do you think I got those object lessons from? Amen? You can usher, and you can ush with the anointing, amen?
Yes.
You can be a greeter at the door, and when someone comes in, oh my goodness, and they see the glory of God on you, and you welcome them. Do you know what that speaks to them? Do you know how many people call this church and say, I felt loved when I came to your place?
Yeah, that's great. Oh.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Be mindful of that, church, when you're in here. We can all be on a mission, and sometimes I am on a mission. And sometimes I have to go, and it's like, it's not in my heart to ever go past somebody, but sometimes you're on a mission, but I endeavor to always acknowledge. And if I don't, just pray for me, because you know I'm on a real mission there. But the point is, we got to be carriers of hospitality.
Yes.
We have to be carriers of kindness.
Yeah.
Servants serving the Lord. You know, the one with the towel and the pitcher of water in their hand. How can I serve you? That's got to be part of our culture, church.
Yeah.
It's got to be part of not just what we do, but who we are.
Amen.
And when you abide in him and you seek him and you soak in of his attributes, it's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy.
He makes it
easy. It's easy not to be offended. When you're in that place. Because it's easy to be offended too if you're in the flesh. Why didn't the pastor talk to me? And maybe there's a million things that they just went through. I know there's times when I've had calls where somebody's just died. Or another crisis that you can't even imagine some of the things people go through. You don't want to. But you're dealing with that. And you get out. And sometimes you might be a little distracted. And maybe you don't acknowledge somebody.
Yeah.
And somebody judges you for not acknowledging. Look at that. They're stuck up. And then that judgment goes a little farther, and then they start talking to others about it.
Uh-oh.
Do you know the pastor never talks to me?
Mm.
Wow, that's dangerous.
That is dangerous.
It really is.
Opening the door.
Sometimes you can make an observation of an act or a behavior. And it's your call to pray. But it's not your call to judge.
Right.
So when you see a behavior, you acknowledge that. Sometimes maybe you address it or you ask them about it. But you don't carry it and let a root of bitterness spring up and defile many, right?
Exactly.
You deal with it.
Yep.
You confront it. You talk to the Lord about it. You talk to the person about it. Watch for the right timing. Make sure that you got your tone right. You've processed your emotion about it so that when you go, you have the right tone, the right body language, the right content. What do you want to say? Amen?
Amen.
And the right timing. Mm-hmm. Those are all important when you do things like that. But we've got to be careful about judging people's motives. Amen? Because only God can judge the heart.
Yeah.
You can observe something. The way you know you've stepped over into judgment is when you begin to look into their motive. I know why they did this. So you're judging, see? So we've got to be careful about that. We want to be carriers of the anointing. We don't want anything between us and God. We don't want anything in our hearts, amen? We want our hearts pure. We want to be vessels met for the master's use. And I tell you, he'll use you to his glory. You'll be a blessing going somewhere to happen. Amen. So Moses received all these instructions when he was up there. He received the Ten Commandments. It was a time for Moses to wait and to hear. Again, we've got to find that time to wait and to hear. It was a time for God to speak to him and a time for God to entrust him with his will, his plan, and his purposes. So let me ask you a question. May I ask you, have you waited on God lately? Have you heard fresh direction for you in this season? What is he entrusting to you? Because there's something. Amen? Know this, his plans are so good. His plans are good and not for evil. To bring you hope and to bring you into a future that's glorious. As you trust in his goodness and as you wait in his presence, he'll disclose some things to you. He'll show you things to come. He'll give you steps and wisdom on how to walk it out. But you gotta wait. And so Moses was up there 40 days waiting before God, listening before God. But guess what? You know, Joshua was the one that accompanied him on the journey. But he left behind Aaron and Ur. And they were to watch over the people. But the people got impatient. I mean, they seen all these things that we just talked about a few minutes ago. They experienced them. But they were impatient. After just 40 days. And they decided they were going to go and they were going to make themselves a god. I mean, as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And they got impatient and they began to take their gold. Remember, they came out with gold and silver, gold earrings from the women and from the daughters and so on and so forth. But they brought the gold together and they fashioned and molded a golden calf. A calf that they could see, that they could worship. Now we go like, but what is before us that maybe sometimes we make a golden idol, right? Lord, if there's something there, show me because I don't want it. Amen? Hallelujah. And so they decided to party hardy. They really did. They got down, they partied, they drank, they wanted to worship this golden calf. And the Lord spoke to Moses. He says, you got to get down there now. God said to Moses, your people, whom you brought out of the land. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen these people indeed, and they are stiff-necked people. Do you know what that is? Do you know when someone has a stiff neck? Their neck doesn't move. It's unyielding. And God was saying they were stiff-necked. They were unyielding. They were disobedient. He said, now they're, you know, he called them stiff-necked. He didn't say anything else. He said they're stiff-necked. So it was kind of kind. Now, therefore, let me alone and my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them and I will make you, Moses, a great nation. Egypt have corrupted themselves. Now, that might have been tempting to Moses if he had, you know, any pride about him. Oh, yeah, you're going to use me. You'll take me and make me a nation. But, you know, God was so awesome because he knew that Moses had been in his presence. And he's just looking for a one. He's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. And Moses had abided in God's presence and his goodness and his mercy. His tender mercies were in Moses. Don't you think Moses was done with those people who were complaining and griping and carrying on? But he went before God with the heart of God that was in him, and he petitioned heaven and he begged the Lord. He interceded in their behalf. And he said this to the Lord, Lord God, why does your wrath burn hot against your people? He's reminding God, wait a minute, they're your people. They're not my people, they're your people. Whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians speak and say that you brought them out just to kill them at the mountains, to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn your fierce wrath and relent from this harm. Do you see the conversation, the intimacy that he had with God? How he talked to God? This is the God who he couldn't look at his face, but he had this relationship with him. And he spoke with him like this. And because he stood in the gap, because there was a one who stood in the gap, God said, I will relent. Moses put him in the remembrance. Remember your covenant. Remember you said you would multiply the descendants as the stars in the heavens. And the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would have done. So Moses came down. He came down to the camp. And he saw what was going on, and he was angry. Amen? And he saw that the people were not restrained. He saw that they were out of control. And he put some things in order. And we don't have time to go into all of that, but I'll tell you what. He got things put right. And then he went back to the Lord, and he petitioned the Lord for the sins of the people again, as that place of an intercessor. Really a priestly role. Amen? These people have committed great sins. They have made a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, then I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Sending to that place of the intercessor. Taking the place, amen, for lost souls. So the Lord said to Moses, depart and go from here. Take the people. He cut covenant with them. He said, take them to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The land that I give it to you. And I'm going to send my angel with you. I'm going to send my angel before you. Go to the land that's flowing with milk and honey. And Moses said to the Lord, you see, you say to me, bring these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray to you, Lord, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you and that I might find grace in your sight. And consider this nation is your people. And the Lord said to him, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. There's rest in his presence. And he said, and Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring me up from here. So God had just told him he was going to send an angel to go before him to clear the path. But that wasn't good enough for Moses. Moses didn't want to go anywhere without the presence of God. And you shouldn't want to go anywhere without the presence of God. That's one thing about Heart of the Bay. Heart of the Bay is a presence-based, presence-led church. It's a safe place. Amen. Hallelujah. So we don't want to go anywhere without your presence, Lord. And then, again, show me your glory. So we've come full circle. Full circle. And there's one difference in the presence of God that, again, he dwells in us now and he can lead us personally now. He'll speak to your heart. You need to be mindful of him. He's the helper. He's the counselor. He's the guide. He's the one that comes alongside. Two things you got to know in working with the Holy Ghost. One is to grieve not the Holy Ghost. That's through your actions. That's through your words. That's through your disobedience. The second is to quench not the Holy Ghost. Just don't stop the flow. Amen? Don't draw back. Don't cut it off. Allow God to work in you and through you. And when you hear him calling out to you, seek my face. What's your response? Oh, Lord, your face will I seek. Because we're going to be here at Heart of the Bay, seekers, soakers, and sowers. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.